When the injury bug hit another one of the IFL's top stars, this time Benji Raddick, the league called upon a familiar name to MMA fans, Josh Bring the Pain Haynes. Mr. Haynes burst onto the MMA scene just a couple of years ago when he made it to the finals of The Ultimate Fighter 3, and on Friday night, he debuts for the IFL in a tough battle against Leopoldo Serrao. Welcome to the park, Josh.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
It's great to be talking with you. I've been following your career for several years, and like I said, this is your debut in the IFL, and you'll be replacing Raddick. How did the whole deal come about for you to come in and fight for the league now?
Well, you know, I've been wanting to fight for the IFL for a while, ever since I got out of my contract with the UFC. And I'm with Extreme Couture now, and, you know, that's my gym, that's my home team. And, you know, I've been trying to get onto this card. Benji got hurt somewhere along the way, and about 2.5 weeks ago, I got a call saying, hey, do you want to fill in for Benji? You know, so I jumped on it. I mean, you know, I'd like to have a little bit more time to prepare for the fight, but that doesn't mean much of anything. You know, I like Benji a lot. I hope he, you know, recovers well from his injury. I enjoy this opportunity. So it kind of came about by default.
Yeah, you mentioned you've only had 2 weeks or so to prepare for this. How ready were you in terms of weight and training and everything when you got that call? Obviously, you have a very short time to get ready for a very tough opponent. Did you feel as though that, you know, given the circumstances, you were not being sort of pressured or rushed into this bout and were in an okay place in terms of, you know, how you felt physically?
I was in a good spot. I knew this fight was going to come in some fashion, at least some fight was going to come. And I'd been preparing. I wasn't in as good a shape at the time, but I am now. You know, two and a half weeks is actually a lifetime to get ready for a fight. And with the guys that I have to train with in my camp on a daily basis, there's no way I can't be ready. You know, you can always be more ready for a fight. It doesn't matter how well you portray or you prepare for a fight. But in this circumstance, I'm more than ready to go. You know, I was even close to weight. I was walking around about 202 pounds. So, you know, I'm never too far off the mark.
Your trials and tribulations with your weight have been well documented. I mean, you started out as 300 plus pounds. You moved down to around 250, 205. Now you're fighting at 185. Is it safe to say that this is the weight that you're most comfortable at?
You know, I did drop to 170 at one point to fight Luke Kumo, and that was probably the worst I've ever felt in any fight in my career. You know, I've never felt that bad before, so I learned a very valuable lesson. I think there's a natural weight where your body wants to be, and I think for me, 185 is exactly where I need to be. You know, I feel the best at this weight. I feel strong, healthy. You know, I feel powerful and ready to perform at this weight class. So, yeah, I think it's safe to say this is where I'll stay.
Now, you're fighting on this is the season debut of the IFL, and like you said, you'll be representing Extreme Couture, and this is a new era for the league because, you know, back in the past, it was all about the teams. Now it's more about the camps and what gyms you train at. A lot of people knew you when you were fighting for Team Quest, and now you've made that switch at an important juncture in your career because, you know, you've lost a few in a row. You really need to get back on the winning streak. Why make the move to Extreme Couture now, and what kind of went wrong with Team Quest?
Well, you know, since I've come to Extreme Couture, I've won 3 of 3 fights. You know, my last 3 fights here, I've knocked guys out. And I can equate that, honestly, to the changes in my training program. You know, when I went to Quest, I went there specifically for what the gym used to be. And when I got there, it had changed quite a bit. You know, I had trained at Quest a bit early on in my career when Randy was still there. And by the time I showed up, it was a very different place than what I thought I was walking into. So it took me a minute to kind of reassess what I was going to do, figure out my solutions. And, you know, after you fight 3 times in a show like the UFC, and you lose 3 times, and no changes are made to your training program whatsoever, no approaches are taken, you realize quickly that there's only so much you can do on your own. And so I had to seek out those coaches that would help me become a more complete fighter. And, you know, Extreme Couture is where I needed to be. You know, here in Vegas, I have the chance to train with Randy. You know, Sean Tompkins, I train with Mike Pyle, Jay Huron. My room is real thick with guys that help me get better on a daily basis. And, you know, for my jiu-jitsu purposes, I have Mark Lehman and Cobra Kai. So there's a whole handful of guys here that I can actually depend on to help me improve my game. So the move here was just, a process of natural evolution. I had to be here.
There's some talk as to whether or not, you know, obviously this is you're representing Extreme Couture, but Randy has all these problems. with the UFC. Is he going to be cornering his fighters on Friday night, or is that kind of up in the air at this point?
You know, I really have no idea. I think that, you know, the issues he's having with the UFC, they're petty, honestly, and I think that the UFC does everything they can to cause issues for, you know, for fighters, especially in the position Randy's in. I'd like him to be there to corner the guys, but if he's not, it won't surprise me as a result of what's going on.
It really makes no sense, right? I mean, he's been doing it forever, and now it's not like he's the one fighting in there. He's just, you know, helping out his own fighters. It kind of makes you scratch your head, no?
It does. You know, it's actually, to me as a fighter, you know, especially as one of Randy's, you know, guys at his gym, and you know, Randy's a friend of mine. I consider him a friend, and I find it very insulting that the UFC would take this approach. There's been a million guys that have taken, you know, cross-lateral moves, and the one that really, you know, I think of the most is like Chuck Liddell going over and fighting Rampage and Pride. That wasn't an issue whatsoever. They let him go with his blessing, you know, and Randy's not even looking to fight anybody. He's just running his business like anybody else does, and they're telling him that he can't be a part of any other promotion, not just the IFL, but any other promotion whatsoever, and I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, who is one organization to tell somebody that they can't be part of a show or an event? It'd be like going to the Militich camp, you know, me sending the Militich camp a letter saying, hey, you guys can't participate in any upcoming events because I said so. It just makes no sense at all.
Your last fight for the UFC was in April of 07. You mentioned Luke Kumo. Did you leave on good terms with the promotion?
Yeah, the terms weren't bad. You know, I mean, my performance was poor, and so the terms were as good as they could be, but... You know, when I chose to go on that other celebrity bull riding show with CMT and Ty Murray, that's when things got a little bit different. So, you know, at the time I signed the contract to go on another reality show is when my contract was permanently terminated.
Why did it bother them so much that you did that?
I have no idea. I can't speak to it at all. I think it probably had something to do with viewed rights and stuff with contractual obligations.
In hindsight now, do you regret going on the Ty Murray Celebrity Bull Riding Show?
Absolutely not. Truthfully, I could care less if I never go back to the UFC.
Really?
I have no intentions at all of going back to the UFC. Especially not the chances that Range is involved with now. If that's how they're going to treat their fighters, especially the guys at the top, then I don't want anything to do with it.
And now, you know, you've only been sort of involved for the last 2 weeks, but... Have you sensed a difference in the way that the IFL has treated you and treated some of the other fighters now, you know, with this bout coming up, as opposed to the UFC?
I think the IFL is in a very unique position right now. You know, as a newer organization, making some adjustments that they've made, they've got some good backing, and they're in a big growth process. So right now, you know, they're treating everybody very well, and if they can maintain that approach and the, I guess, the common courtesy and respect that they give the guys, I think they'll go a long ways. You know, I think where a lot of the other larger organizations have gone wrong is they've forgotten who made those organizations. It has nothing to do with the figureheads and the promoters. It has, in my opinion, everything to do with the guys that are out there bleeding in order to put those shows on. And that's what a lot of these promoters need to remember is without the fighters, it doesn't matter who you are. You know, and I'm not saying that the fighters should get any special kind of privileges or respect, but what I am saying is that don't forget where you come from.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, every one of us bleeds red. And, you know, I would never complain about what I get paid to fight for, but I think that common courtesy dictates that you pay your fighters well enough to make sure they can survive so they can show up for the next show. And that's where some of these other larger promotions have gone wrong.
Do you foresee a point where, you know, like Mark Cuban, he's been very vocal about all this stuff. Do you see a point where it's almost going to be where, and not so much, I don't really believe that a union will come about just yet, but where there'll be enough pressure on these big promotions like the UFC where they'll have to start paying the MMA fighters sort of comparable to what boxers make, for example?
You know, I'm not sure, honestly, how that'll work out. If you look at, you know, the major boxing productions and stuff that are out there, there's only so many major shows every year. And of those major shows, there's only one main headliner. And those headliners are the ones that really get paid, and then everybody else gets paid as they do, but not everybody on a boxing card is making $1 million plus. And so I hope there's a point where that happens, and I hope there's a point where, you know, we all start making good money because I tell you, I get tired of working, you know, a side job just to cover my expenses every month because I can't fight on a monthly basis, you know.
What is your side job?
I work in nightclubs. I do security work in clubs here in Vegas.
All right, and is the goal at some point to try to move past that and focus full-time on the fighting?
Oh, absolutely. But that's been my goal for years. You know, like, I had a wife and three children, so, you know, I've got a lot of expenses on a monthly basis that I have to cover. So for me, I'd have to make a pretty decent income on the fight game in order to make sure I could step away from that.
Right. All right. So, well, just a couple of questions before I let you go. I know you're really busy. You're now transitioning into a ring, fighting this Friday in a ring, and you've been used to, obviously, the UFC style and the octagon. Is that going to play any factor in terms of, you know, where your head is at and things that you need to get used to, or once the bell rings, it doesn't really matter where you're fighting?
You know, it doesn't matter where I'm at. I could be in a closet for all I can, you know, care as far as, you know, where the fight takes place, but it'll be interesting to see how the environment affects the fight. I frequently use the cage to either defend a takedown, get up off the ground, you know, from the bottom, or I use it to take my opponent down. So without that cage there and working with ropes, it'll be interesting to see how those takedowns come into play if I do take my opponent to the ground. And, you know, it's always very interesting to see how your environment affects your fight. So we'll see. You know, at the gym right now, we've got a full-size ring that's just a couple feet shorter than the IFL ring. And, you know, I do a lot of my training in there. And so far, I haven't noticed any major changes. So we'll see what happens when, you know, when the bell rings and everything's live on Friday night.
And your opponent on Friday, Leopoldo Serrao, very tough. Also making his debut in the IFL. Very short time to get used to him. Have you had a chance to watch any of his old fights and study up on him?
You know, not really. Somebody like Leopoldo Serrao, I don't know him very well. And it's kind of hard to find material on him. But, you know, from what I have found, it's you know, pretty baseline mediocre stuff, you know. I mean, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful at all, but the guys I deal with on a daily basis in my gym outclass the majority of people throughout the nation at different clubs. So there's really nothing I'm going to step into on Friday night that I haven't been prepared for, I haven't faced before. I got a room full of guys. You know, I train with Baroni. I train with, you know, Vanderlei Silva. I train with Mario Sperry in the past. I train with Jay Huron, Mike Pyle, Kemble Grove, you know, the list goes on and on and on. So for me to step in the ring and have any unwarranted concern about Leopoldo Serrao doesn't make much sense. I don't take him lightly at all, but I fully expect to get in there and impose my will as much as possible.
And what's the contract situation like with the IFL? Is this a one-fight deal, or did you sign anything long-term?
Right now, it's a one-fight deal, and, you know, we'll see what happens after this. I'm in no hurry to sign anything exclusive for anybody, so there'll be some negotiations, you know, in the event of being offered a larger contract and whether or not we take that route.
All right, Josh, and before I let you go, just wanted to get an update because when you were on The Ultimate Fighter 3, there was a lot of talk about your son and, you know, the issue that he had. I believe it was a tumor, a brain tumor or a tumor in his brain stem. How is he feeling now? And, you know, just give us a sort of update on the health of your son.
You know, my boy is doing real good. I mean, he's doing real good. He's in the first grade this year and he's trying to catch up where a lot of the other kids are right now. You know, he's working on learning his math and stuff, and he still struggles with his balance issues and some other things that, you know, shouldn't be a factor. But after seven brain surgeries and whatnot, it's kind of a tough thing to deal with. But, so far, he's healthy. You know, I need to get him back up to the hospital and get another brain scan done. And I'm working on it right now. I've got to figure out my insurance issues and stuff. Because without the insurance, you know, it's real hard to get the scans done and whatnot unless you have all the money out of pocket. So, but, you know, after this scan, he's supposed to be free and clear for the next year. So we're just, you know, we do a lot of praying and a lot of hoping and a lot of thanking. You know, I'm very, very thankful for my son and I'm very thankful for his success. So, you know, it's funny when you look at something like what my boy's going through and then you think about the fight game because, honestly, there's no comparison. You look at what these children go through on a daily basis fighting cancer and then you think about the fact that I willingly step into a ring for 12 or 15 minutes to fight another man and it's kind of comical, honestly. There's no comparison to the danger that you might face in the ring as compared to, you know, fighting cancer. So I guess it gives me a unique outlook on this sport, and I thank my son for that.
Yeah, it makes a second round knockout feel a little less important when you kind of compare it against something like that.
Really, it really does. You know, the whole concept of winning and losing kind of takes a whole different approach when you start thinking about it in the grander scheme.
Well, it's great to hear that he's feeling better, and good to see you back. You know, with the IFL here, kind of on the national stage, and we hope that enjoy great success Friday night and beyond. Great chatting with you, really.
All right, man. I appreciate your time. Thanks, guys, a lot.